and welcome to another episode of Hashtag New Teacher Journey. I had the opportunity to interview with Mrs. Catherine Kopka. She is an amazing educator who actually teaches at my school, and she is so passionate about education. She's active on Twitter, and I really had a lot of fun recording with her. She always tries her best, is innovative, wants to try new things. She received a master's in curriculum and instruction. She has an ESL endorsement, and she loves the Chicago White Sox, Bears, Blackhawks, and the Marvel Universe. And she's, an English language arts middle school teacher. And I really hope you enjoy, because this was so fun to record. Happy Valentine's Day, and enjoy your day. So to start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name's Catherine Kopka. I've been teaching. This is my 15th year. I am a mom of two girls, been married almost 13 years, and I taught for 13 years at Liberty Junior High in Burbank, 7th grade language arts. I left there because I wanted to be closer to home. My kids were both going to be in school full time and didn't want to do the 45 minute to an hour commute. And I ended up at Lukansic Middle School teaching 8th grade language arts and was there, 6 months? And then everybody came home because of the pandemic, and just wasn't the best experience for me. I did basically what I could to get myself back home, closer to home. Went through the summer trying to find some jobs and fell upon this amazing position over at Hufford Junior High, where we met and interviewed with the principal. And I've had an amazing journey with them ever since, teaching 7th grade language arts and revamping every which way that I teach curriculum and content, and using every piece of technology that I know how. And if I don't know how, I will learn and teach myself or go to a training. And just, I've just always wanted to better my, each and every year at the end of the year, I try and reevaluate what kind of teacher I am or was, and what could I always do to improve myself. 'Cause whatever I improve, I know will then improve the students in any way, shape or form, just to show some growth. And I've enjoyed every bit of what I've been doing. I can't see myself doing anything else. I wanted to be a nurse for a really long time, and lots of stuff happened when I was in high school that changed that. But it's just been a whirlwind these past almost year. Definitely, like I said, learned a lot about myself, my teaching, my students and parents, and me as a parent during a pandemic trying to teach, and my parenting styles and teaching styles, and being a wife at the same time. And it's just been crazy. I also have a master's degree from Concordia University in curriculum instruction. I got almost, it's been just about 10 years. It was just 10 years in December. And then right in the middle of this pandemic, I finished my ELL endorsement from St. Francis University over in Joliet. So I'm proud to say that was something I wanted to do for a very long time. Basically, like in the middle of my master's, I wanted to get it, but I was in my master's. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to get it. And then got married, or had my first kid and my second kid, and, life happens. And but I really enjoy where I'm at right now. Everybody that I physically have met, I'm really enjoying everybody. And then even virtually, I haven't met everybody, but I look forward to going to work every day, even at home 3 days a week, 2 days in the building. And these 11, almost 12 months have been something that I can't wait to tell my grandchildren about. So but I'm just really excited to do this with you. I thank you for inviting me, and just like I said, opening my horizons to new opportunities and growth. And just we're on like two opposite sides of the spectrum, but new teacher in the building, same building, but veteran teacher and new teacher, I'm willing to give whatever advice I could give.
Yeah, and it's great because I love looking at, your tweets on Twitter and just seeing how much passion you have for your students and how engaging you are. So it's been great to get to know you virtually that way. And hopefully when we do go back in person, we can get to know each other some more.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much. I actually have to post some stuff tonight. So thank you for saying that and reminding me. I got to do some stuff tonight that we did today. So, but yeah, Twitter, back, let's see, what is it? 2021. I want to say it was about three. Well, it was the summer before I left Liberty. And that's when a lot of these programs were coming out. Seesaw, Flipgrid, Nearpod. I haven't used Nearpod much this year, but a lot of these programs were coming out, or they had been out maybe for a little while, and it was just kind of like trickled. And I was like, okay, again, I want to better myself. The students where I was they were gonna be getting one-to-one computers, and I was like, I can't just stick them in front of a computer in Microsoft Word all day. Like, we have to figure out how to use some features out there and use these programs. And Lewis University, they always send the flyers to school and, here's some professional development or whatever. And I got to go to 4 half-day professional developments. It was like $40, but it was like I said, 4 half-day trainings, and they were all for like these different all these programs. And like Google and Gmail and Google Suites and even Microsoft Teams, because like our school, that school was on the fence of where they were going. Were they going to be a Google school? Were they going to be a Microsoft school? So I wanted to be kind of ready for anything. And then one of the classes was expanding your classroom walls, and they really put a big emphasis on Twitter. So I was like, oh my God, I've never used Twitter. Like, I've used every other social media, Twitter, and all I thought of with Twitter was like just the bad experiences that people had. Like, I never heard anything good come out of it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do it, but they need you to do it. So I was like, all right, it's only going to be for professional use. So I create an account. And then, same thing, you start following everybody. And then it just came down to I was following all these veteran teachers and then all these new teachers, because I was like, I'm kind of in the middle. Yeah, I've been teaching a while. I'm probably considered veteran, but I'm still young. Like, I'm still keeping, I'm not 40 yet. I'm not 40 yet. Like, once you get over 40, you're like, okay, now we're getting old. But I and then like they like somebody, and then they like somebody, or they retweeted the, and it was growing and growing and growing, and then it blew up, so like blew up in a good way. Like, it just became so used in my previous school districts as well. Like, they constantly were sharing stuff on Twitter, what the kids were doing, what the teachers were doing. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, it can be a good thing. Like, I just, everything I had heard and anybody who had a Twitter account that I knew, just it was bad. And I was like, what are you talking about now? Like, everything just, I wouldn't have met someone like you on Twitter. I wouldn't have met Sam on Twitter, or fellow teachers from our district on Twitter. And just even going back before Hufford, like, just seeing all these teachers and coaches and instructional specialists just from around the country. And I mean, sometimes different parts of the world too come in there, but really expanding, just everything of my teaching. Like, it took the best turn that I think it could have taken, especially during this remote learning, because we went home in March with basically nothing. We went home, we sent packets home with students, the district I was in, and it was only supposed to be for a couple weeks. And then, everybody was throwing stuff together, and I knew I already wasn't going back, so I was already thinking fall. Okay, what I want to be prepared for the fall, regardless, are we in person, are we remote? And just the amount of resources that Twitter has provided me, even it's something as simple as something that a teacher, a Google slide that a teacher has sh shared, or even like Achieve the Core, they have shared so much stuff. And I was actually, they had sent out a survey back in the fall about remote learning and some of the things that that they just wanted of some of the programs we've used or what we've done that's been successful. And I put myself out there and they ended up posting it, and I was all over Twitter for like the longest time. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, but you know what? Now I can say, hey, look at like other people are seeing what I'm doing, and it's working. And I've really connected with our coaches in Joliet, and I'm really enjoying it. I never thought I was going to be probably addicted to Twitter as much, but I keep telling my husband, I'm like, it's for work. It's for work, honey. It's for work.
That's awesome.
So, but who knows what's going to happen in the next 6 months or rest of the school year. But, I'm willing to take any resources. I figure for every resource that I take, I'm willing to share out, one or two of the same. You use it, you use it. You don't. Sometimes I think we criticize ourselves so much that you don't think it's good enough. But you know what? There's going to be one person who's going to take it, or one piece of advice. If anybody saw my Achieve the Core post, they would, oh, she likes this program. Well, you know what? I'm going to try it this time. And I've said it enough to a lot of people, even from, I think it was 2018 when I first went to those trainings, that I was like, listen, we had sort of technology coaches in our building, but when everybody found out I was going to these trainings, they're like, hey, can you come on your plan and show me how to use this? Can you come on your plan and show me how to use this? And I was like, sure. So just, I figure for everything that I try and use in my classroom, the pay it forward. I've always believed in that, and we'll continue to do that. And any resources that I can get, like I said, if it's Twitter, or even found some teachers that were on Twitter. They also had Instagram accounts, and sometimes they didn't always put the same things. And I'm sure you've probably maybe come across that as well, that not everything is shared on all of the same social media accounts. So it's like, oh, where did I see this? I like this. I retweeted it. Where was it? There's even a few on Facebook, a few groups that I joined for like ELA remote learning, and everybody's sharing sources that way. Some people just want to vent, and that's okay too. I've done it myself. And then even some like Google Classroom in general groups, and so I've just been trying to utilize it, because that's where we are now with teaching. And will we ever have a snow day again? Probably not. I'm sure you've heard that phrase lately, but I enjoy absolutely everything I do. I don't think I could ever do anything else. I can't see myself doing anything else. Probably when I was your age, that's, oh my God, I said that phrase. Oh God. You rethink it. Your first couple of years, you're like, did I do this? Did I make the right decision? And I remember when I graduated, like they kept always saying, like, teacher turnaround, the percentage of teachers that stay teaching. And I'm like, not everybody's made to be a teacher. You may think you are, and until you experience certain things, you may or may not do it. You may think it, but do you give up and try something else, or do you power through and keep trying? And I keep saying that every maybe 3 4 years I get a really bad group of kids. Well, then I would have left teaching like 5 times already. the number of times I've said that. And but some years you just have the group that, oh man, they appreciate you. The parents appreciate you. You just love going to work every day. And it happens every couple years, and then some years you dread going to work every day. But as much as I'm like, oh, I get to roll right out of bed and go teach my kids, but you know what? I know I'm never going to see them in person this year, but I gotta say, like, they're an amazing group of kids. They're working so hard, living through a pandemic, something they're going to tell their kids and their grandkids. And gotta give every single person in this time right now credit for everything that they're doing. whether it's trying to do schoolwork, you're 12, 13 years old trying to do schoolwork, but you have a 5-year-old sister playing around in the background and trying to babysit while mom and dad are at work. I mean, everybody's situation is different. But I'm grateful for what I have and what I've done and where I've came from, and I look forward to where all this is going, and I don't know where it's going, but it's about this time of year I start that reflection process, and I think about next year. So I know it's only February, but okay, August. Well, let's get ready for August. Let's get ready for August, even though I've got like two huge units I still have to do before the end of the year. But and you're exhausted, but you're exhausted because you know you've done something good. And if I could give some type of advice to new teachers, like if you can be exhausted from, you've done something good today. You've made a difference in a child's life one day at a time, or one child at a time. And it may take a long, it may take these whole 9 months to get there. But if you're exhausted because you've done something good, then it's all worth it. That's what I think. Oh my God,
Yeah.
I
So
totally
you
talked
already.
your
No.
ear off.
No, you're totally fine. So I know you mentioned a lot of good things in education. Do you have one really good day that you could talk about that you recall, or a memory that you have that just, or a lesson that went really well?
I got a couple. I've got one as far as lesson for sure, but I've got even back at my old like two jobs ago, it was the same group of students actually in the same year. There's a girl, like she was like your average kid. She did her work. She just, she kind of kept to herself, but pretty friendly with everybody. And every month we would do like a student of the month. And this particular month I picked her. I forgot what the trait was. It was same thing like what Hufford has, where it's like a trait a trait a month. And I picked her again. I can't remember the trait off the top of my head. And they would get the awards at lunch, and they would call all the kids up at lunch and say who it was, who nominated them, and why. And I got to see the girl right the class period right after lunch, and she came to me, and she just like I was still taking attendance, and she was like, "Miss Kopka." I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I just want to thank you." And I'm like, "You're welcome." And I think like I get so caught off guard that I'm like, And she's like, "I just want to thank you for picking me for Student of the Month." I'm like, "I wouldn't have picked anybody else." And she's like, "I've never been picked for Student of the Month." She's like, "I worked so hard. I'm so glad you see it. You've really made my day and made my month, my year, and everything." She's like, "And I just want to say thank you." And I lost it. I still even get a little emotional right now telling it, because she I just it was a different side of her, and it just confirmed why I picked her. And I saw her, at the end of the period, and I was like, "Anything for you." I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But that same school year though, there was another girl, excuse me, earlier in the year, the social workers used to push into our classes. And they would do this one activity called like cross the line, and they would at we always had an agreement that whatever was said or done in class, didn't leave the classroom. And there was a situation, it whatever the line was, the girl she crossed the line, but it was like a loss of family member to gun violence, I think it was, and it had just happened to her like the day or two before. So she crossed the line, and then she took off. She like ran out of the room, so I had to like run after her, and I was there to comfort her, console her, find out everything. And just that bonding and that relationship like just lasted the whole year. Like she came to me for everything, and it was fine. Like I always say, my door's always open. Like she took advantage of it. And I got this beautiful letter for her from her at the end of the year that she was never, and this is, and it's all true because she was never a writer. Like I could not get that girl to write to save her life. And this letter she wrote was so beautiful. And she stated multiple times throughout the letter how I got her to write. It started off just with like journaling and diaries, but she wants to write stories. She wants to be a journalist. She wanted to be a published writer, and it was all because of me. And I was like, oh my God. And that's one of those letters again. I still have it where crying your eyes out. I had another student that same year. The boy was a special ed student. He hated reading. He would fight his mother, and she let me know at the beginning of the year that he's not going to read for you. I'm like, all right, I got this. I got this. Watch. And sure enough, he wrote me a beautiful card at the end of the year. Like, he's like, I've never read books like you've read to us and read with us. And it's really, I've begun to appreciate reading so much more. The mom wrote me a separate email. The same thing, a lot of the same things that I basically taught her son to read because he never wanted to do it before. And that was actually all in the same school year. So it was, that was my last year at Liberty. So it was an emotional year. At the beginning of that school year, I mean, that year was just, it was a roller coaster of a year. It was the 18-19 school year. I had a student the year prior who had committed suicide like the second day of school, and she was in 8th grade, but I had her in 7th grade, and she had committed suicide. And that was, finding that out was my hardest day of being a teacher. I don't want anybody to go through that. I lost a previous student a few years prior to an accident with a gun, but he was in his 20s already when it happened. But that's something that needed a lot of therapy to get through. It's not my shining moment. It's probably one of my hardest, and to this day has been my hardest time in teaching, because you got to put on this face at school all day when you are. I was depressed for a long time because she used to come to me a lot and never talked like you reevaluate every conversation you have with them and everything that happened. She was always a smiling girl, and I still have her prayer card on my desk even 2 schools later, and I even had it at school last year. And it was rough, and I have a hard time talking about it now because it's one of those things that, you say you don't ever want to pass before your children, or you don't want your children to pass before you, and even you don't want your students to pass before you. And it's, even to this day, like I said, I talk about it. I have to talk about it. I went through enough therapy to learn to talk about it. But that set the school year to just be the roller coaster of the school year that it was. But I've had my challenges. The position I had last year, it was a new grade level. I had never taught 8th grade before. A very high level demanding school district, and I struggle, and I know I struggled, and everybody saw that I struggled. And I was trying to get my ELL endorsement at the same time because they required it. And but I think every teacher has their highs and their lows, and it's how you make it through is what's going to make you a better person, a better teacher on the other end. And I think if I can not keep talking your ear off and give you the best, give new teachers the best advice. I just get so into things, and I just keep going. Just
No, you're
stop
good.
me.
I get
I'm
it.
looking at the time. It's 23 minutes. Oh my God, Susan. Oh.
No, my gosh, you're fine.
Like,
You're
I
good.
wouldn't still be doing this if I wasn't passionate, and if I wasn't in it for the long run. And I've been in a relationship with he's my husband now, but we've been together almost 20 years, and I don't do things just for short term. I'm a long term dedicated person. Anybody will tell you that. And you hear it from your parents, and you're doing a great job. And, they see all the silly stuff I do and all the crazy stuff. And they tell me all the time, well, we're bragging about you still, you're in, and I'm like, yeah. And the other day, and I don't tell a lot of stories about my husband, but the other day he was home and I school day was over and I was like getting ready for the next day and kind of, oh, I'm doing this tomorrow, I'm doing this tomorrow. And he's like, you know what? And I was like, what? He's like, you are so good at what you do. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you have revamped your entire career to meet the needs of these kids. He's like, I want you to be my teacher. He's like, you are so silly. You're goofy. If those kids don't want to come to your class, I don't know what could you be doing wrong. And he's like, I love everything that you do. I love seeing everything that you do. And I'm like, you've never said that to me before. He's like, I know. He's like, I just want to let you know you are a rock star teacher. And I'm sorry I've never said it before. Like, he's there supporting you. And that he talked down a little bit more, but I was like, what? And then I don't know how to react. I was like, thanks. Because, like I said, he's always been there, to support if I had to do open house or parent teacher conferences and, buy this for school, purchase this for school. I got to go to this. And he's always been there, but he's never commented and said anything about how I am as a teacher. And he's like, you broadcast everything that you do for your kids, your life on social media. He's like, I think people need it. I think teachers need it. Teachers need the inspiration. And he said, I think you're doing a great job of that. He's like, you're not a youngin' anymore. You've been doing this a long time. You know what works, you know what does it. And he's like, you're an amazing teacher. And he's like, I'm sorry I've never said stuff like this to you before, but it's true. And he's like, I love you. And he's like, I'm sorry I didn't take an interest, in the last few years because, and he, when I tell stories too, he's like, oh, I've heard this before. Oh, I've heard this before. So, like when we were in the building, oh, you told me a story like this before. It gets old. And I get it because he's not in education, he's an IT guy. And me, I'm like, okay, tell me about your day. I may not know everything he's doing, but I'm intrigued in it. But when he said that to me, and I've been kind of, I keep thinking about it like the last few days too, because he just said it last week. And I don't know, it made me feel good and it cheered me up a little bit because I was like getting ready to go for the vaccine last week too, and I was nervous, and he was trying to kind of calm my nerves down from that. And I said something to him a couple days ago, and I said, I just want to tell you that what you said to me really made me feel good, and I'm so grateful for that. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I think we all, yeah,
Yeah.
and I think we all need that, those words sometimes. Like, I'm getting my
Yeah.
master's right now, which, started in March when we hit COVID. I was like, that's a great idea to do this master's, And now when, we're in a pandemic, obviously we're remote teaching. Like, I figured out a way to balance it, but there's days where I'm like, oh yeah, I have two assignments due tomorrow and I need to, get those done. But those late hours or those days where, you're doing something you're passionate about. Like, I'm taking a technology course and it's super engaging and it gets me excited to build my portfolio and keep, adding stuff to it that I do on Twitter and stuff. And it's not work. Like, it feels like you're, driving your passion or intensifying it. And then I got to be published last year because of my connections on Twitter, and that's been awesome. So, like, for sure, Twitter has been a huge game changer in education. Especially like for me as a newer teacher, I feel like I got so many opportunities, because of Twitter. So I loved what you said about, the social media aspect, and I wish more people made a Twitter and, saw the benefits, because I think some people are a little bit thrown off or don't know how to start with it. But I've seen the benefits in like doing a Twitter chat or like things like that where you can get that perspective. So I just love everything you said. I think
Oh, thank you.
it was really fun
Oh,
to
my
record.
glasses are filthy. Oh boy. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's been something, and I envy the new, you're in your second year, right? Second or third year. And,
In my third
let's just
year.
say first 4 years, before your tenure, teachers right out of college, like what did they had no idea they were going to be in a teaching in a pandemic, student teaching in a pandemic, first year teaching in a pandemic. It's like, what did I get my, I mean, that's where, like I said, for me 15 years ago, you're like, what did I get myself into? That's 15 years ago when stuff like this didn't happen. And it's like, oh my God, I just graduated. I have to do what? You sit here and you ponder and you rethink and think again. And but I envy, and I've said this in many of our PLCs, like I envy the new teachers and I envy the veteran teachers that stuck around, through this. And if you had to leave teaching for, medical reasons or childcare reasons or whatever your reason was, you got to do what you got to do. But I envy anyone like myself that is sticking through this. We're going to have our ups and downs. It's not over. It's not probably far from over, but it's a phrase overused, but we're all in this together. But I enjoy, I've always enjoyed what I've done. I've been a teacher longer than I've been a mom. I've been a teacher longer than I've been a wife. I don't know anything different, and I'm always open for trying new things. I work better under pressure. I don't know why. But I do like to take on a lot. You sound a lot like me, where it was like, I'm going to take this on. Well, guess what? We're going to throw a pandemic right in your face too. I feel like when you put enough on me, I mean, too much is too much. And people could probably attest to that. But I feel when you put enough pressure on me, I perform better under pressure. And but there are benefits. There's always going to be benefits at the end. And I feel like I've made my place. That's what I always say. Like I want to leave some type of legacy in teaching. I thought I would was going to be in Burbank for a long time, but the only thing that made me move was really the drive. Our administration was changing too, and that was changing for the bad. And people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses. That's like my husband's quote. And I just retweeted that quote the other day. Yeah, my husband lives by
I
that.
saw that.
Excuse me. And even last year, it was an interesting year, let me tell you. And I don't have enough time on a podcast for that, but I feel, just the evaluations I've had this year already and everything going this year. Like a lot of people that I have seen and that have known me, they're like, you have done a complete 180 compared to how you were the last year, 18 months ago. That makes me feel good because sometimes you forget about yourself. That self-care part we have to remember. And I've made a couple amazing friends during this pandemic, which sounds weird because you're not supposed to be seeing anybody. But I've made two really, really close friends that I've bonded with. One's a teacher, one's not, but you need people during this. And I need my break from my husband and my kids when you're home all day, every day with these people, and I love them to death. They have gotten me through a lot, but I credit a lot of my growth as a person from my new friends and moving on and just being at a different part in my life now and people appreciating that and seeing that. And I've got amazing family, and I'm an only child, so I've got parents who watch everything that I do and still do. And I have their grandkids, so they're very crazy. My Polish family, my mother is, ugh, you know what that's like. You know what that's like.
I got you.
They just got the COVID vaccine yesterday, and I called them this afternoon, and they're like, we feel great. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I was down for the count for 2 days. But they've
That's
always,
funny.
my parents, have always been 1,000% supportive for whatever I've done, good or bad, and I credit them for being and sticking through and not giving up on me. And my husband, I met him when I was 18. I mean, we don't know anything else. Like, we've been together longer than so many people. And I would have to say, and then my kids came around, but they don't know everything. But I credit a lot of who I am and what I am because of them and their countless and endless support of wanting to better myself as a person, as a teacher, and going back to school and helping out, with two kids for daycare. I mean, my parents during this time, we were home, but I was like, you people have to take them. Like, I can't work from home 5 days a week with them. You have to take them. And then when we were going in twice, the couple times a week back first trimester, they would take them overnight. And that was so nice. It got a little more than just a 8-hour work day away from them. And it was nice to kind of rebond with my husband a little bit. And he's just, I've got a great support system and I'm very grateful for that. And I've met some new great support systems at Hufford and the staff and the admin. And you're always going to question some of the things that admin does or teachers do, but that's teaching and that's education. And, but I'm very grateful for where I've come and where I hope to go. And, if this first podcast with you is the first of many, I'm okay with that. And I look forward to, the future. And I figure, like I said, I'm not 40 yet. So I've got a couple years, and we'll talk to me in a couple years, and we'll see if I'm still putting stickers on my face and stuff. But maybe I'm doing something else. Maybe I'm doing acrobat. I don't know.